Hi there, and welcome to NES Vocalized.
Today we interview Ms. Lomax to discuss how to deal with the pressures of school life.
We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoy recording it.
Hi, Miss. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Now, today Mia and I want to talk to you about how you believe students like us can handle the pressures of school life. I want to start with a question. What does music mean to you?
Music is my passion. So when I was at school, as I've told the sixth form before in an assembly, I was very much on track to do medicine. And I had taken all my A-levels to do that, but I'd also taken music. And when it was the point where they were trying to focus me a little bit more, as everybody who knows me, it's difficult to focus me. They told me that I should give up music and concentrate on my sciences. And I realised that if I was to give up music, I'd be giving up a big part of myself and I'd be giving up who I essentially was. And I wasn't prepared to make that sacrifice. And so for me, music has always been that, not just what I do, but who I am. And it's an integral part of my being.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, with a lot of people being told that, okay, you need to do medicine, you need to do engineering, you need to be a lawyer, when a lot of them are suppressing what they actually want to do, what would you say, what would your advice be for them?
Well, obviously, there are parental expectations, and I'm not going to say to you, completely ignore your mother and father, because obviously that is not the society we live in. However, what I will say is it's never too late to change your mind. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law very recently, she was in education for years, and at the age of 42, decided that she wanted to become a midwife, and so was just started a new career, has gone through university again, and wow. is now starting a career as a midwife at 45 years old. So I would say it's never too late to change, and don't ever give up on those hobbies that you think are more you. So I know many doctors that are friends of mine who also are musicians. I know many people who are writers and still paint. You know, it doesn't, having a career does not mean that you can stop who you are. And I think you can have both. You can have the whole world if you want it.
Do you regret any decision you've made?
No. 100% no. I mean, every decision that you make, good or bad, leads you to the place that you are. And bad decisions, you learn from. Good decisions help you grow. Bad decisions help you grow further. Okay? Exactly. And I would say that mistakes that I'd made during my life, stupid decisions I'd made during my life, built on to make me the person I am today. And I would never change the person I am today. And I wouldn't change any mistake I'd made. I wouldn't change any path I'd gone down, because I find the person that I am today is the best version of me that I could be at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm the best version of me that I will ever be, because obviously I've still got mistakes to make and growth to make.
What, like you said at the beginning of your podcast, in sixth form speeches, you have really prefaced the fact to keep practicing. And I think that's quite, what would you recommend to students at NES to juggle your normal life and also your academics and also your hobbies and your interests?
I think the most important person in your life that you are ever going to prioritize is yourself. And I think a lot of times we forget that. We think that when you are at school, you have to prioritize your parents. When you're having a family, you have to prioritize your husband or your children. Or when you're a teacher, you have to prioritize your students. But at the end of the day, if you never prioritize yourself, you're never going to be thoroughly happy. And I think that's one thing that you can start with. And then when you look at that and you think, right, in my life, I must study for this amount of hours. I must then also create time for me to have a social life. I must then also create time for me to do hobbies and things like that. But what you've got to understand is you've got to prioritize what's important to you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at this point in your career, studying is important and should be important. It's not about all of one thing and nothing of the other. Because if you give everything that you've got to your studies and don't take any time at all for yourself, you're going to end up a very sad person with really good exams, which nobody wants to employ. Because when you're in an interview situation, my friend put it very succinctly last night. She said, people in an interview don't always choose the person with the best grades, the best resume. They don't choose people with the best past history of having done this job. What they choose is the person they want to sit in the cubicle next to them or in the office with them. They want to choose the person that they can actually learn and grow with. I mean, there's a Bill Gates quote that says, choose the laziest person to do the hardest job because they'll find the easiest way to do it. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying be the laziest person, but what I'm saying is we can learn from that because we can create different ways of doing things to facilitate us having more time. Like I always say to people, don't ever start studying the easiest thing that you know, because you already know that. There's no point wasting your time going over something that you know. Start with the things that you find the hardest and then reward yourself with a little bit of easy at the end. So you leave your study session going, my, aren't I clever? But what I'm saying is you don't make your life harder than it needs to be.
For a lot of students, I know that hobbies is something that's hard to find. Like some of us have a lot of hobbies. Some of us literally have none. And for those students, studying is kind of the only productive thing they can do. To those students, what's an actionable step you could give them that they could do today to start finding their inner purpose and most truest passion?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'd say think about who you are and who you wish to become. And because all of us have these visions of what we want to achieve in our life, and we have these visions of what we want to be in our future. And so if you see yourself as being the kind of person who goes out to dinner with fancy friends and can and eat a 7-course meal and chat about it, make cookery your hobby. Make the understanding of how those ingredients work your hobby. If you're the kind of person who likes to go to concerts and talk along massive musical lines with other people, make music your hobby. Learn more about it. You don't have to be an actual musician to enjoy music. You don't have to be a chef to enjoy cooking. It's all those things. It's not, you don't have to be the most excellent person at something to make that your hobby, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. That's an amazing answer.
I think with what most people struggle with is starting. I think there's a lot of fear that comes with that. What would your advice be to kind of get around that?
Just do it. to quote Nike, Nike, however you want to say it. It's so you are, there are always going to be people better than you. Yeah. Always. Throughout your whole life, there's always going to be somebody who is better at, like for me, there's always somebody who's better at the saxophone. There's always somebody who's a better singer. There's always somebody who's a nicer person. There's always somebody who is more. And you can't then go, oh, because I'm never going to be that good, I'm not going to do it. Because that's the way you fail. I mean, you can only fail by never doing. I mean, if you take one step towards the plate, swing a bat and miss, you've at least stepped foot in a game. I mean, that's an achievement. And we need to stop measuring ourselves by the best people and start measuring ourselves. Like I said, the best relationship you should have is with yourself. And if you measure yourself, and if I start something and I go, well, this week I'm better than I was last week, then that's great. I'm not looking at how much better so-and-so is than me. I'm looking at how much better I am than I was before. And only measure yourself off yourself and your own personal progress when it comes to hobbies.
So what do you think of competition then?
Obviously, I was brought up with a lot of competitive nature in my thing, but I think that there is a place for competition. There is a place for it. However, I think that sometimes it can be unhealthy. And I think that's something that you've got to recognise in yourself. For me, when I was your age, competition was highly unhealthy for me. I strove to be the best so much that I was putting way too much time into it. So I was focusing entirely on one thing, on being the best at something. And then when I got to university, I went from being the best in my area to very much the middle of where I was going. And that first year of university was probably the hardest year of my life, realizing that I wasn't the best at something. And because I'd gone to a school very much like ours, where it was all very highly academic, and I was always top of the something without ever having to try too hard. And university was the first time in my life that I've ever had that kick down where I wasn't the best.
Yeah. It's an ego check.
Yeah, it was definitely an ego check. And probably the most growing thing that ever could have happened to me. I would have been a horrible, horrible person had it not happened.
I feel like the periods of life or the moments where you feel the most discomfort are the moments where you grow the most.
Yes, I would 100% agree with that. Even though when you're in those moments, you hate every single second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You've talked about how you can shape hobbies to yourself, but how do you think a hobby can shape you?
Well, I think if it wasn't for me having hobbies when I was 5 years old, I wouldn't currently be sitting where I am now. I wouldn't be a music teacher. I wouldn't have shaped the lives of thousands of children. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I mean, a hobby, what started as a hobby for me became a career. I mean, and I know not everybody can be that fortunate that they get out of bed every day and go and share their hobby with people. I mean, I am very fortunate, but I think you can do that if you choose to. And I think there's always that element of, because no matter if you are professional at your hobby or whether you are not professional at your hobby, you share it with people. Even if you're just going to somebody, look at this painting I did. And somebody's going, oh, that's really nice, well done. It's that sharing of hobbies, and that's what's important to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't be here without mine.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense.
I think what you said, like when you move to university and you're like, oh,
hello.
Not exactly where I used to be. Obviously, that would have caused a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Tiny bit of stress.
Tiny bit, you know?
I think with our school being so academic, I think every student can relate to you
on
that. So what would your key piece of advice on that would be?
Be kind to yourself. Because when that happened to me, I did not act in the best way for me. I withdrew. I was like, what's the point in trying? And I think a lot of people will identify with that. If you're not the best at something, what's the point in doing it? And it took me into the latter half of that first year and into second year to realize that it didn't matter that I wasn't the best. And that was the start of me understanding more about myself and the fact that I could try even if I wasn't the best. And that humbling experience really helped me to grow and understand who I was better. And I think we will all go through these things, and we all have these times of stress when we're pushing ourselves and pushing ourselves to be the best and be better and be better and be better. But you should first of all be kind to yourself and understand that sometimes a B is the best you can do. And you should be grateful for that B. I mean, the most rewarding, this sounds ridiculous, but the most rewarding grade a child ever got in my class was an E. Because this child was a terrible musician, absolutely awful. She sat her GCSE, she could not play an instrument, she was not a natural academic, let's say, and she worked her little socks off. And I tried every way to try and help her understand things. She tried every way that she could to understand things. As soon as she got into an exam, she completely broke down and forgot everything she'd ever learnt in all of her subjects. And when she finished her GCSEs, the E was her best grade.
Right.
And she greeted me on results day, and she was absolutely in bits, and she came to me and she apologised for having the E. And I said, no, I'm so very proud of you. And she said, why are you proud of me? I've got an E, I've failed. I said, no, you haven't failed. You did your best. And she went, yeah, I did, but I failed. I said, no, you did your best. And that's the most important thing to remember. That if your best looks like an A star, that's great. If your best looks like a B, a C, or even for this poor child, an E, be proud of the best that you can do, because that's the best you can do right now. It might not be the best you can do for the rest of your life, okay? So if you can be proud of the things that you see as failures and understand that how you can build from those failures, you're going to become a stronger person for them.
Right. I think that's a really important message that students everywhere should hear.
Mm-hmm.
And
this little girl now owns her own business as a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And she's really so good, and she does so well.
Wow. That's amazing.
Very proud of her.
I think it's important to know that success doesn't come in one form. Success isn't just A stars, isn't going to the top university. Success is what you define it. And I think there's so much pressure to be like the person next to you when
Everyone's different.
The world is built up with more than just one type of people. If everybody was the same, this world would be very, very boring.
Yeah, and I don't think we wouldn't be where we are today with our world.
I think you've answered all our questions brilliantly.
Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you. Have a great day. Everyone.